The Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talmadge, Tony Venus, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
We are
real this time.
Yeah, take two of episode 76.
Oh yeah, Nantes Rouge.
Nantes Rouge.
That's right. It's today in Detroit. It's the March of the Red Dwarf, or Le Marche de la Nantes Rouge, which commemorates the driving out of the.
Now, Nantes is red. I thought Rouge was red.
Nantes is dwarf.
Oh.
Red Dwarf.
That's right. It's the syntax is backwards.
No, I think ours is backwards because theirs goes from greatest to least. In other words, you have the noun and then you have the descriptors that follow it, which is the same in Spanish. Well, no, it's not. It's not. Because when it makes sense, you would want to think about sorting. You go from greatest to least.
I agree with Mary because multiple languages do it that way.
Spanish
is one of the very few that does it correctly.
Okay.
Because sure. German does that too.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know. I don't speak
Throw
German.
Throw the horse over the fence some hay is a common Pennsylvania Dutch expression.
Well, it's Pennsylvania. It's Dutch.
It's German. Oh, my God.
All right.
Anyway,
so we'll move on. Oh, it's like a whole new show.
Because Dutch in German means German.
Yes.
Deutsch. Okay. Let the record show that Matt did roll his eyes in acknowledgement. Okay. So, okay. Well, we'll catch up kind of in an accelerated way. So, Matt, what did you do last week?
Tony oh, Tony.
Yeah, Tony.
Car problems.
Yeah. Oh, man. 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since I've been on the show. And in that time.
We didn't know that.
Well, last week I wasn't here because I was out at my parents' house. We had a big birthday gathering. Apparently, February and March is
Somebody had a birthday.
Birthdays, right. My dad had a birthday.
Congrats.
My brother's birthday.
Wow.
My birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, your
and
birthday.
Then, I finally brought his present today.
Oh, I don't think I did bring
and
a present.
And my nephew had a birthday.
All right.
So we all got together for that.
Yeah, I've had his present since his birthday.
Since his last birthday?
Well, I just kept forgetting to bring it every time I would see him.
So. Yeah, so he brought it?
Wow, I feel bad. I didn't bring is it a growler? Oh, it's a beer. Nitro.
Milk stout.
I dare you to drink it.
I haven't had this yet.
Wow. It looks
pretty
dark.
Yeah, I'll drink it right now.
Oh,
wait, I can't. I need an opener.
Oh, you knew that ahead of time, though. Yeah. Just to create the drama. All right.
So nitro. I've never had that before. So
well,
I'm looking forward
that's
to
very
it.
Very nice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't drink stouts. I know you like stouts. It was expensive.
It must be good.
Right.
I'm glad you got me the stout for two reasons. That is what I like, and I don't have to share it with you.
All right.
Anyway, so car problems. Start off with my car. It's a Mitsubishi, so almost everything's more expensive on a Mitsubishi.
Mm-hmm.
And the wheel bearing had to be replaced. Which wasn't just a hub that you can bolt on and bolt off. So I'd take it to a shop to have them press it out. And that was $200.
Did they 3D print it?
I don't think they did.
All right.
Speaking of 3D printing, I'll let you finish your story, but then please remind me to
okay.
Sure.
3D printing.
While they had it apart, they're like, well, this, your sway bar link also needs to be replaced and your brakes need to be replaced. So if it was up to them, it would have been over $300
mm-hmm.
or $500. So
well,
I wouldn't.
Good thing you have the checkbook.
Well, I paid them for the bearing, and then I did the rest myself, which ended up total being about $350. So I saved, over $150.
Good.
And then my van had problems too. The battery went dead three times in a week. The last time it went dead, I went to jump it. And the fan instantly came on, the radiator fan.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm like, what would cause that?
Yeah, when you hook the cables up, right?
That's right, yeah. And so I did some Googling and, dead battery and alternator fan or radiator fan.
Yeah, cooling fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, they said, I got a fan on my alternator too.
Yeah. Well, they said, do the, or check out the, fan relay.
And, so you checked it out?
I checked it out. Yeah, I replaced it. It was $50. And normal relays are like $5.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this one has a cooler, a heat sink on it and some temp gauges or something built into it.
Uh-huh.
Well, if it's got a heat sink on it, it's got to have some kind of electronics in there too.
Right. Yeah. So, so I got that replaced and it's been good ever since.
Great.
Yeah. Oh, right. and on top of my car, the same day I took it into the shop, I had a flat tire. So it was like one thing after another.
Do you have one of those little tiny stub tires?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Those are awful.
I had to drive on that for like 2 days until the day I picked up the car, the auto shop or the tire shop was already closed.
Oh, okay.
So then the next day I had to go and get it fixed.
All right.
You know, I have no spare tire at all in my van.
Uh-oh. Do you have AAA?
No.
Oh no.
Does he have AAA?
I didn't want to say that, but yeah. Oh,
I don't have AAA. Yeah. No, you know.
AAA, what the?
All right.
Yeah, it's that service that comes and helps you out when you have a flat tire.
Yeah.
But, right, you know. Yeah.
So that was my 2 weeks. What'd you guys
your
do?
Travails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, on Tuesday of this week, I worked about 15 and a half hours.
Racking a server?
Well. I went out to our remote location near the end of the day.
No.
To rack a server and do some other minor fixes. So I was doing that and it was all working out good. I was all on schedule. I was going to be done with about 10, 15 minutes to go in the day. Not enough time to get back to Dearborn and be productive at all. So I was going to leave from there. And just get out like 10 or 15 minutes early. It was all working out cool. Well, even the best laid plans of mice and men go awry.
Mm-hmm.
Because my boss calls me and says, we have to move a cluster immediately. It's an emergency. It has to be done by 9:30. So.
Yeah.
It was, I said, okay, I'll get it. And moved the cluster from the one location to the other location because it was getting DDoS attacked and it was taking down the pipe because the pipe at this one location is smaller and it's not as fine-grained. You can't segregate it as well. Whereas at this other location, it's a larger pipe and you can segregate it so that if it did continue, the only thing it would take down was that one cabinet, not the whole place.
Oh, yeah. And
so this is not a situation where IF down would help.
No. No. If down, right. If up, not okay. Fixing anything. So I got it all moved, got it re-IP because we had to re-IP it because the DDoS was attacking the real IP on the box. And we were using Cloudflare to mitigate the attack. And so we had to re-IP it so they no longer knew what IP it had.
Mm-hmm.
And they could only attack the Cloudflare. Instance of it, so that all done and all up. By the time I was done, I didn't get out of there till like 10:30.
So my thought is, why didn't you get it started? Because, you know, it was right at the end of your day. Maybe the next person couldn't get up there in time to get it started. So why didn't you get it started and then make the next guy come up and finish it?
Because I didn't think of that, and neither did my boss.
I think what you should do is next time you're confronted with a challenge like that, I think you should call Tony and confer with him about the best approach. And actually, get me on the line, and I'll help too.
There you go.
All right.
At least I'm not afraid to get in the kernel or into the command line.
Yeah.
Like your friend then.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the bucket of
bucket of sharp knives in the water balloon.
Oh, that's a great way to describe it. So, anyway.
It is funny.
But you got it all fixed.
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Let's see. What did I do this week?
I don't know. What did you do, Mary?
I put together some furniture.
Ooh, IKEA.
Oh, you know.
Was it IKEA?
No. It's this really cool stack of, like, shelves and drawers and stuff. And it comes in this flat box. And so when I see the box and I know what it's supposed to look like when it's done, I'm thinking, oh my God, I got to get the screwdriver out. And, you know, my approach to this kind of stuff is, I look at the screw and I say, oh, this looks good. Let's probably go here. So I had to,
That never works out.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. So I had to disassemble a couple pieces because I had it backwards and, you know, because it's a reversible thing depending on, it's a shelves that fit up against stairs. So your stairs go up, ascend from right to left versus left to right. These shelves have to kind of match. Anyway, but to make a long story short, it looks
too late.
It looks pretty good. It looks pretty good. And then finally, I did install Steam on my workstation at home, and cool. I'm liking it. I don't play a lot of games, but
I am not a gamer. I don't play any. I play solitaire.
I saw the dev package was available. Yeah. Right. Well, yeah, I do that
but,
a little.
But that's it. Yeah. That's the extent of my gaming.
Yeah. So the dev package was available, and I thought, let's go for it.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah. So my workstation, I mean, it's got, you know, Netflix. It's got Steam. I mean, it's really ready for work.
Yeah. You know, Mary, I never pegged you as a gamer either. So, what are you doing with Steam?
Not much right now. I have one game on there. I can't remember the name of it. It's like Diamond Jim or Jack or Diamond. It's the little guy with a flashlight runs around and there are these guards, bad guys with flashlights and you have to stay out of their flashlights or they just shoot you dead.
Huh.
So, and you drop bombs. You have unlimited bombs, so it's always a good when you have unlimited something.
It sounds like a violent game. I don't know if this is appropriate.
Yeah, well, it is a little bit, but
sure, man.
But you can save your progress. So anyway, yeah, so it's good.
Cool.
It's good. I used to do a lot of gaming.
Oh, yeah?
But not first-person shooter games. I get too tense.
Yeah.
Too tense and stressed out. Yeah. So anyway, so that's it. So I guess we'll.
Yeah. This guy was at the psychiatrist. He says, "Doc, I don't know what the problem is. One minute I feel like a teepee. One minute I feel like a wigwam. Teepee, wigwam, teepee, wigwam." Doc says, "Huh? It sounds like you're too tense."
I never heard that before. Oh, funny. All right. Well, we're gonna move on.
Matt, what's happening with the Colonel?
Two release candidates released this week. One was released last Sunday, and one was released last night. I'm only going to read last night's.
Okay.
On Saturday, the 23rd of March, 2013, at 1741 Pacific Daylight Time, Linus Torvalds released Kernel 3.9-RC4, and here's what he had to say about it. "Another week, another RC, and things haven't calmed down, meaning that the nice, small, and calm RC2 was definitely the outlier so far, but I am optimistic, damn it, and I'm going to keep hoping that things will change and the upcoming week will be boring and devoid of any real work whatsoever. It had better be because it's spring break and the kids are around. Anyway, while it hasn't been as calm as I'd like things to be, it's not like the things have been hugely exciting either. Most of this really is pretty trivial. It's all over with the bulk in drivers, DRM, MD, Net, MTD, USB, and sound, but also some architectural updates, PowerPC, ARM, Spark, x86, and file system work, SIFS and ext4. Go out and test, Linus Torvalds."
Okay.
Yep. Now, moving on. So the main line is 3.9-RC4, our stable updates. Greg Crowe-Hartman on March 20th, 2013, at 1314 Pacific Daylight Time, released kernel 3.0.70 with 41 files changed, 488 lines inserted, 133 lines deleted. Then on Wednesday, March 20th, again at 1315 and 14 seconds Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.4.37 with 50 files changed, 540 lines inserted, and 156 lines deleted. Then on Wednesday, March 20th at 2013 at 1315 and 54 seconds Pacific Daylight Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.8.4 with 86 files changed, 903 lines inserted, and 395 lines deleted. And then on Wednesday, March 20th, 2013 at 1958 Greenwich Mean Time, Ben Hutchings released Kernel 3.2.41 with 100 files changed, 1,207 lines inserted, and 544 lines deleted. And my kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Crowhartman. He says, "I am ignoring your email for more important things." And right under that, he had posted a picture of the ski slope he was on. So that's the kernel this week.
All right.
All right, cool. Thanks, yeah. Matt.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
Well, I see you guys left off of IP Fire last week, right?
Yes.
So, I believe we did.
I think so.
I mean, the whole episode was a blur. It was a frightened blur.
Yeah.
All right.
You know what? I think, so because you guys get confused with my directions, I'm going to rewrite them. I'm going to put screenshots in there so you know what to look for. Maybe I'll make a YouTube video about it.
Us, Matt.
I think so.
Well,
I'm just messing with you.
I know, that's funny. Actually, I think that was pretty funny. But I think there were just some little parts that weren't updated. Wasn't how it is. It's easy to write instructions. The challenge is maintaining them. And I say that because just in my work and that kind of stuff.
I've written instructions.
I agree. Yeah, there's
it's
been
not easy.
It's not easy
because the problem with writing instructions is
that you have to write them.
Well, yes.
You have to keep your target audience in mind.
While you're writing the instructions, you're doing it usually.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some steps that you might just do, but you skip over them you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to make sure that everything gets into the instructions.
Exactly, every click.
Right, yep. And that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, it's a challenge. But anyway, it'll be greatly appreciated
by
Matt and me.
Yes.
All right, but let's get back to the distros.
Yes,
let's do it. Right. Yeah, that's a distant memory last week.
So on the 18th, March 18th of 2013, Manjaro Linux 0.8.4 OpenBox Lite has been released. Carl Duff announced the release of the OpenBox Lite edition is because it's a lightweight, minimalist distribution based on Arch.
Yeah, and they, I think they said too, that there's no codecs, no Java, or even web browsers have been pre-installed.
Really?
So you gotta, yeah.
Wow, well, definitely light.
It's for the tinkerers, the tinkerers amongst us, but don't look at me. So, but yeah, I think, you know, everybody.
Yeah, I think Arch is good for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, also on the 18th, we have Kane 4.0. And Nasse Bastarelli, I don't know how to say the name. I don't know. I heard you guys reading the whole thing last week. And I'm like, you know, that does sound better than how I did it. So maybe I should try that, except for when it comes to the names.
Yeah.
But well, Nani, we'll just go with that, has announced the release of Kane.4.0. It's a Ubuntu-based distribution with specialist utilities for forensics, analysis, and penetration testing.
Have you ever been able to use Kane?
I have not tried it.
Did you get the joke? Kane and Abel?
Okay, I get it. Anyway.
I got it. I was going to let it go, but then you had to drive it home.
And the battery was dead. Okay, go ahead.
The next one is on the 19th. We have Sparky Linux. Powell announced the release of Sparky Linux 2.1, which is a Debian-based desktop Linux distribution with a choice of Enlightenment, LXDE, Mate, or OpenBox. So,
And actually, anybody who has an older machine may want to give this distro a try because its requirements are pretty fairly minimal.
Now, do they use stable Debian?
I'm trying to look through it right now, and I know it uses testing. So they're upgraded. That's what this one upgraded the repositories from 3.15 of the Debian repositories.
Mm-hmm.
With the 3.2.39 kernel.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Well, if they're in testing, they're in semi
stable.
No, they're pretty stable. Testing's pretty stable. Because by the time it gets into testing out of SID, it's been banged on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Okay. The updates are still frequent and you're still pretty cutting edge. It's when you get into that stable Debian that it gets kind of old.
Mm-hmm. Old, yeah. Well, it's stable.
Yeah, yes, it is.
But a distro should
rock
be.
Solid, buddy.
That's right.
And that's how you want your servers.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also on the 19th, we have Clonezilla Live 2.1.1-7. Steven announced the release, and they are a live CD with useful open source disk cloning utilities. I really like Clonezilla. I've used it a couple times. Yeah. It worked great for me.
It does. It's an excellent tool.
Yeah. And then we have, what's the next one? I'm clicking around for some reason.
Asterisk Now.
Yeah, Asterisk Now, which Malcolm Davenport announced the release of Asterisk Now 3.0, a complete CentOS-based Linux distro with Asterisk Telephony software, DAHDI driver framework, and free PBX administrative GUI. Yeah. So.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I went to the website because I've always been interested in this that particular app. And as it turns out, they've got this little ad thing that flashes, little graphic that flashes that says, "Get the power of Asterisk without knowing Linux." So you won't be looking behind the curtain. Pay no attention to that kernel behind the curtain.
Yeah, pay no attention to that. Operating system.
Yeah, Asterisk is very good. Yeah, if you're not familiar with it, it's a PBX software that you can run on a Linux server and replace. You can run all IP phones, and it's very good, soft phones and everything.
It is. It's an excellent piece of software, but it's traditionally been fairly difficult to maintain. So guys have built entire careers and businesses around installing and maintaining Asterisk for people.
Yeah.
This might make it a little easier.
It's very cool.
Hey, we should start a company. You guys can do, you do the techie stuff. I'll be the salesperson.
You'll do sales?
Yeah. All right.
I'll be the pretty face.
There you go.
All right.
All right, so the next release, it's a BSD release. FreeNAS 8.3.1.
It's not really a BSD release. It's an appliance that lives on BSD.
It's based on BSD, not Linux. Yeah.
Right, but it's an appliance.
Sure.
Yes, Matt, it's an appliance.
If you're not sure what the... It's a NAS. So
it's
a network-attached storage
server. It's an open-source storage platform.
Correct. But
sharing across Windows, Apples, and Unix-like systems.
I don't think they do anything with BSD. I think they just... Their sole focus is the NAS software, and they just plop it on top of BSD. You know what I mean?
Well, it's based on free BSD
like
PFSense. Right.
PFSense... I don't really count that as a distribution because it's PFSense.
It's not going to install LibreOffice on it, is what you're saying.
That includes just the tools to run this one program.
Special set of tasks.
Right.
But they don't do anything with the base operating system. They don't tweak it.
I don't think Tony was saying that. I'm pretty sure they do.
I'm not saying Tony. I'm saying that stuff like this I don't think should be on DistroWatch. It's not a distribution.
Then PFSense should go, too.
Yes.
Clonezilla should go.
Yes.
Oh, Matt and I have agreed on three things in a row.
All right.
And the next one that we get to should go also.
All right.
Oh, anyway, yes. So if you're not familiar with it, it is a NAS based on BSD and uses a ZFS file system, which... Sucks up a ton of RAM.
You better have a shitload of RAM or you're just gonna...
Officially, you only need, what, 2 gigs of RAM, but if you want it to run right, you need over, what, 8 gigs?
Yeah, I would say at least 8 gigs.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
Cause ZFS, the reason...
It's more of a enterprise level.
Right, and do you know why?
Why?
The reason is ZFS does deduplication natively.
Oh, very nice.
So... That's why it requires so much RAM.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, going on the 21st, we have GParted Live. Curtis Gadak has announced the release of GParted Live version 0.15.0-1, which is live a utility CD that specializes in hard disk management and data rescue tools. Gparted is also very good. That's what I use. I use Gparted and Clonezilla every time I'm going to be replacing a hard drive or upgrading to a bigger hard drive for the OS.
Right. I do the same thing because you use Clonezilla to image the drive onto the new drive, then Gparted to blow the file system up.
Exactly, yep. And then on to Slack L 2.0 Open Box. So, Mary, how do you say this person's name? Demetris?
Demetris, I'd say Samos.
Samos?
Yeah.
All right. That's
Samos.
Better not what I would have said.
I would say it sounds Greek.
I would say you're right.
Slack L 2.0 Open Box. It's a lightweight distribution for based on Slackware.
Yeah. One of the more interesting things about Slackle or that they have on their site is they have site stats so that whoever visits, they get categorized into various categories. And it shows, you know, who's interacting with the site. And as a matter of fact, based on what I had seen, Windows users visit far more often than Linux. And went ahead and I refreshed. I went to the top to take a look at the gross level visits, hits, and clicks, and I clicked three times, and the thing incremented three times. So, obviously.
So, if we go there and just keep refreshing the page, we'll pad the stats.
At that hit level, yeah, I think you will. So, because I was kind of curious.
It's like our lunch vote at work.
Yeah, is it?
Oh, yeah, didn't I ever tell you this?
I just didn't know if the stats on that page were live, and I found out after a couple clicks that, oh, they are live.
Yeah, at work we have this thing that comes out every Monday. It's an email that directs us to an internal website where we get to vote on what we're going to get for lunch on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because the company buys lunch for everybody on Wednesday.
Oh.
And not last week, but the week before. Beirut by Night got 9,003 votes. So the fact that you could jack the vote on you could jack the vote on his website was exposed pretty blatantly.
9,000 votes out of what, 30 employees?
Yeah, 35 or 50, somewhere around there. Employees. Oh,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, moving on.
All right, moving on. On the 22nd, we have Linux Mint 2013-03 Debian.
Yeah, Debian.
Yeah, this one's long coming. 11 months after the last release, a brand new version of Linux Mint Debian Edition.
It's supposed to be rolling. Yeah, right.
With
square rails.
Mate Cinnamon,
yeah.
But no XFCE this time.
And that's because Solid XK has they've taken, you know, as from last week, wasn't it? That's right. You weren't even here, Tony. They took XFCE and KDE and pulled that out, and now they have Solid XK, which is a pretty it's a pretty nice little distro.
Very cool. So. Yep, but it says it's where does it say it's based on Debian testing, but where were we reading that earlier, Matt? It said it's a semi-rolling.
I don't remember where
release.
We're
yeah.
Based
where,
on so Debian semi. Testing.
Yeah. Semi-rolling. Yeah. Yeah. Pushed uphill, maybe.
Put the gear in reverse. Yeah. Yeah.
So are you volunteering to help with that?
No.
All right.
My job is just to be a curmudgeon to sit back and criticize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was the job description, right? I saw it written in the job description.
Speaking of curmudgeons, we were talking about going to bar camp, GR. It's Grand Rapids Bar Camp. And Bar Camp is one of those unconferences where everybody that attends is
in the first half of the first day is just figuring out what you're going to talk about.
Right. And everybody's encouraged to present. You know, there's no cost to go. It's just everybody needs to present.
Is there
so that there's content.
Is there a theme or kind of a focus?
Tech.
Okay.
So it can be, it's not Linux or open source. It's just tech.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be hardware, it could be software, it could be social issues.
Issues or social media?
Social issues surrounding technology.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, so I told Matt, you know, we should all go. You know, and Matt's like, oh, I'm not presenting. I'm like, you should present on how to be a curmudgeon in a podcast.
Yes, these
opinionated
podcast opinionated curmudgeon.
That's right.
All right. Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, no.
Do you have to camp?
And then
yes, you do. Yeah. Sleeping bags and
in a tent?
No. In the dorm, like, it's not, you don't get a dorm room.
No,
but it's in like the common areas in the college.
Are hotels close by?
There are a few people that
hotels
go.
With indoor hallways. All right.
It's because it's at Calvin College, right?
Calvin College. Yeah, it's Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids. Yeah.
It's a fairly large city.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool city. All right. Well, we'll keep moving on, I guess.
All right. Well, that was the end of the distro releases this week.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
Hang on, everyone. Just before we get started,
yes,
we're going back into the SMLR time machine.
Things are looking pretty good there. I bet you Sousa will be coming in number one next week. We should put a bet on that, Matt. No,
I will bet you. I will bet you that OpenSUSE is not even in the top five next week.
Wait a minute. Let me look at the difference in numbers here. 27 to 37? You bet they're not going to be in the top five next week?
I bet they're not going to be in the top five.
Oh, $5.
$5 on.
All right. Okay. I've already got my $5 spent. I do.
What happened is that Matt and I,
I forgot all about the wager.
Yeah, the wager. We had a bet on OpenSUSE whether it'd be in the top five this week, and Matt was pretty confident that it wouldn't be.
Right.
But I applied my SMLR algorithm to the list and figured that my bet was going to be safe. So I made the bet with Matt, and I won.
I showed it's number six.
7 days.
You have to go back in 7 days. 7 days.
All right. So we'll see. Where is OpenSUSE this week?
Let's see.
So at number five, we have Magia with 1483.
And trending up. Is it 83? It looks like 88 to me.
It would, because you have no glasses.
Yeah, man. Right. Trust Tony,
number
okay?
Number four, we have Debian with 1605.
And trending down.
Number three is OpenSUSE. With 1769.
And trending down and should have gone all the way out of the top five.
Didn't go out fast enough.
Number two is Ubuntu with 2030.
And trending down.
And number one is Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 4284.
Alright.
Alright.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm $5 richer.
Yeah, Mary got the wager.
Okay. Well, Mary. You can either take $4 unless you have change for a 10.
I think I do. I brought change because I knew I'd be close. Let's see what I got here. I got, I have a 20 and I have singles.
Do you have five of them?
I do. Actually do have five. Yep, I do. So here's five singles. And
there's your 10.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that.
Jeez, pocket money.
It was a pleasure doing.
I hate pocket money.
It was a pleasure doing business with you. All right, we're on.
Got an iron, Tony.
All right, they're a little wrinkled, but they spend all the same.
That's right.
All right, I guess. Go ahead.
I don't remember. Where was Magia last week? Because how did it go from number two to number five?
People quit pressing the button.
They weren't at number two, were they?
Last week.
I don't know. That's what I was asking. Where were they last week?
I don't remember. We were frightened last week. we were
working in a haze.
I don't remember any of it. I don't even remember recording because we were so bummed out about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't know it caused so many problems for you guys.
That's all right. We survived.
We got
through. I'm going to take a vacation day.
I know. Well, it won't happen again. That's all I'm going to say.
All right.
All right.
He's not allowed to take any more time off.
Magia was at number two last week.
Was it?
Yeah. That was a quick drop.
Yeah, OpenSUSE should have dropped.
Okay.
Anyway, so with the top five over, what is next?
What distro are you reviewing this week, Mary?
All right, for this week, okay. This The distro review this week, or distro review prep this week has been a whirlwind of preparation, primarily because I started in one direction and ended up with an entirely different distro. And I hate when that happens because then it's always less time. My initial choice was Pissy Linux.
What?
Exactly. What? Pissy Linux.
Pissy.
Pissy. Oh. Pizzy, P-I-S.
Oh, P-I-Z-Z?
No, P-I-S-I. Pizzy.
Oh.
Pizzy Linux.
But then, okay.
Well, for obvious reasons. I mean, I thought, you know, we'll have a little humor angle. We'll have a little review angle. We're going to have a lot of things going on here. But as it turned out, Pizzy Linux is only in the alpha stage. I didn't care if it had a KDE desktop. I'm not reviewing an alpha version unless there's an interesting angle to it, more than just a funny-sounding name. So this week's distro review is based on a Debian, or based on Debian. It beat out an Arch derivative running E17 by a whisker. Get it? Oh, and Pizzy's little avatar or little icon is a cat, so that's why I beat it out by a whisker. See? Okay. All right, that was a little obscure. It caught my eye on a blog.
What's the name of the one you're actually reviewing?
We're getting to
it.
It caught my eye on a blog called Jed's Desk. This week I take a look at Vicito.
Mosquito? I think there ought to be a rule that you have to be able to pronounce the distribution.
Yes, the link to this will be in the show notes. It's spelled Vsido, and it's based on
The only vowel is at the end of this.
All right, Vicito can currently be installed with a choice between three popular Linux kernels: the latest Debian kernel, the latest Liquorix kernel. Are you familiar with the Liquorix kernel? Or the latest Seduction kernel. This is a really interesting distro, Matt, and I thought of you throughout.
Okay.
Painful as it was to think about me throughout this, I thought of you. I thought, you know, if Matt wasn't so in love with Fedora right now, he might be interested in this one. So let's take a look at the vitals. First of all, the name. Well, we already went past.
Yeah.
We already did the name, so we're going to move on. The maintainer is a gentleman named Terry Gannis, but he's also called Vast One.
What?
Vast One? Yeah, that's his handle.
Is that because he's fat?
Vast One, I say.
Yeah, is that because he's fat?
No, I think it's because he's got a vast perspective. I think it's because Terry has got a vast perspective.
I think it's
because
he's vast.
No, his perspective
physically
is vast.
Physically vast.
All right, we're gonna move on. I will dispute that, but distro's latest birthday, the release ISO was updated 2 days ago, so it's updated very frequently. Which I thought was kind of impressive to me. So it was on March 22nd.
You know, a lot of times these maintainers contact you after you review their distro.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have one this week we'll be talking about.
If he contacts you, you've got to ask him if he's
Hopefully, he probably won't contact us now because Matt's calling him.
No, because you've been insulting him. All right.
I think that's a great name. I want to be the vast one.
Yeah. I think it's vast as far as vision. Vision vast. That's why the V is there.
I think it's physical size.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if we want to keep our show under 2 hours, I got to get on with this review. So, as I said, let's see here. Oh, yeah. It's a derivative, of course, as I said, Debian SID with experimental seduction sources pinned for specific applications. Now, the kernel, it's a 3.8 trunk, which I don't understand what the 3.8 trunk is, the trunk kernel.
Well, that means they use 3.8 as the kernel.
Base?
That's
okay.
What it is. And then it's like how, you know, like Red Hat uses whatever kernel.
And then
there'll be dash and then a number. Like I think it's right now at like 115.
Okay, so it's like a stock?
So they've got this base kernel, but then they've got their 115 add-ons after it.
Okay.
You know?
So. Yeah. And this one, in the kernel, of course, but the Liquorix and Seduction kernels are available for download via script, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes. The review desktop / window manager is Fluxbox with options for OpenBox and XFCE, although during the test I installed another desktop, and we'll get into which one I installed, but it'll probably be obvious.
Oh, guess.
Okay, it's got three letters in it. All right. Now note, though, that Vicito whatever. I don't know what, I don't know where the accent goes for this. Is only for 64.
There's no vowels in it.
Yes, there is. R2. I and O.
Where's the I?
S-I-D-O. V. Oh. It's prefaced with a...
When you spelled it before, I didn't hear the I.
Well, no, because you were too busy thinking about your snappy response, Mr. Curmudgeon.
Do you have a link for the distro? Maybe throw it in the IRC
chat?
Oh,
yes, I do. Yep, I'm going to have to multitask here for a minute. I do have a link for it. I'll get that out there. It's visdo.org. So if you want to type that out there, that'd be great.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't worry.
Kind of
so is it IS
around.
Or SI?
It's VSIDO.
So, but the website is VI, you said.
No, it's VSIDO.org.
VSIDO.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right. So for 64-bit machines. All right. So first of all, I downloaded the ISO. Fits on a CD. The live environment showed a small launcher panel. And again, once I got into it, very small launcher panel at the bottom. There were like four things in it. That was it. And there's a system monitor readout monitoring the kernel version, uptime, CPU, memory usage, temp, network activity. It sat unobtrusively at the top of the screen. Very nice and very compact. You know, again, I always like seeing that stuff flash around. It just goes back to those days with flashing lights and looking impressive. The modules I looked for, first of all, were also loaded. That's the Nouveau graphics driver. And then because it's on here, here for those of you not watching me point, I'm talking about my laptop. IWL 4965 was also loaded. Now the defaults. The browser is IceWeasel, which I thought was kind of odd because IceWeasel implies that it's all free, you know, it's just that kind of that free version.
Yeah.
However, I think there are codecs installed because I was able to watch movies without doing anything extra. Mm-hmm. So interesting. I thought of Scott when I, Scott in my earlier discussion about that, but it was kind of interesting, but I wasn't going to make any assumptions about anything. But anyway, the office suite, there's no office suite, but more about that later because Matt, I know what you're thinking.
No office.
No. You'll see why. Okay. And it'll make sense. There's no mail client. So it's either up to you to install one or else use Gmail web-based through IceWeasel and the file manager. There's SpaceFM, and then if you are booted into the XFCE desktop, you've got Thunar. Okay, the install process. Installing Visito, was a straightforward affair. The steps are familiar, and I like the fact that it had all the accounts and password entry boxes on a single screen, allowing me to easily tab from field to field to supply the needed information. I didn't have to go to the next screen for this, that. Everything was on one screen. Partitioning also was easy. The instructions were easy to understand, and for someone who may be fairly new to the process, I don't think they'd get confused. The install grub step, which in the past has given me heartburn, was easy to see, and the brief explanation was on point. There was even a third option where grub could be installed to the MBR of the root partition, which according to the information on the screen is what you want to do for a USB install. I chose to install it to the root partition of, to my SDA6 and also make sure that grub was installed to the partition, SDA6 partition, because I didn't want to screw anything up. Visito even took the time to articulate a complete sentence about what was going to happen. Grub will be installed to the root partition of SDA6. Do you want to continue? I was shocked. Pleasantly shocked. Yeah. I said, heck yeah. So the install commenced. Dispense the consumables. So I drank a little while. No, not really. I didn't. But it felt natural to say that, so I did. But anyway, so I just kind of waited for the install, and it cranked away. The install ended with this. If everything went well, your new system should be ready. Do you want to try it out? It was a very articulate install. I was impressed. So, of course, I did, yeah. And I rebooted. I rebooted and quickly got to the desktop. The first time in, you're presented with the option of going through a post-install script called Visito Welcome, or Visito-Welcome. It will install additional applications including Office apps, printer setup tools, image editing tools, and then some developer tools. This approach allows the distro to stay confined to a single CD, but again, brings down all the other stuff you're going to need. But the requirement is a working internet connection, and I didn't have one, despite the fact in the live environment, the module was loaded.
Huh.
So it wasn't loaded during install?
Well, apparently it wasn't available. I didn't go that far. What I first of all did is I went, I exited the script and then checked the forums just to see what was going on because I was expecting it to be automatically there. But Visito uses Seni, and I configured my wireless, but I still didn't have access.
Seni is a little difficult to use, especially with wireless. That was one of the Seduction's drawbacks for me, was that they used Seni. And it, I had to rewrite config files every time I used
wireless. Yeah, and I think that was my problem, because here's what happened. It correctly scanned, and I saw my wireless access points that I wanted to use. I went through the whole thing. I picked what I needed to pick, and I saved it. But here's the thing. Wireless worked. Wireless, I could ping my router. I ping myself, ping my router. So that all up to that point was good. I couldn't get past the router. Now, my first thinking is, oh, it's a DNS server or it's something else going on there. But, when I plugged in a wired connection, I was fine. So, it may have been something with Seni and maybe setting some, maybe the DNS servers or something. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah. It's just Seni itself. Mm-hmm. Kind of semi-broken.
So that was disappointed, but I did go into, later in my testing, I went into this configuration, I think the services at startup area, and Wicked was there, but not checked. So I checked it, and then I was fine.
Yeah. So that's what I did, too, is I used Wicked and stopped using Seni and Seduction.
Yeah, so what I really appreciated, although it took me a little bit to figure it out, is that there was, I could get there from here, but by a somewhat circuitous route.
Yeah, and it's not that your driver wasn't discovered and loaded, because my driver was loaded fine.
Oh, yeah, it was fine,
yeah, it's
and that lulled me.
It's that Seni, it's the Seni program. There's just
there's something
problems
going on with
that.
It. Yeah, so anyway, I would think that what I think they ought to do is maybe set it up so that Wicked is more prevalent or at least
the
handles
default.
Something. Yeah,
until
it was the default.
Until Seni gets their problems fixed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's see here. So I did away with that. So I did away with that problem solved. Okay, although most of my testing occurred while using Fluxbox, I also checked out XDE. And by the way, one of the first things I do when I'm testing out a distro?
XFCE.
XFCE. What did I say? LXDE?
XF. You said X something, but it wasn't XFCE.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, well, thanks for helping me there. Because I typed in LXDE. So clearly, there are just too many acronyms. But one of the first things I do is I take my mouse and set it up right for left-handed. And Fluxbox had the setting, but it wouldn't stick. So I thought, I'm going to have to go into a configuration file and make the change. Well, what was interesting is that with Visito, I logged out, logged back in using XFCE, and the mouse setting was correct. It was set up for left-handed there, so I couldn't figure out what was going on with Fluxbox. But then I just decided, I'm not a big fan of Fluxbox. I mean, people who use it, more power to you. I've seen some really great desktops running it with Conky and all sorts of Conky readouts and stuff. Very cool. But, man, it just was not working for me very well.
OpenBox is really, really, if you want a really lightweight window manager, OpenBox is the way to go as far as I'm concerned. All the config files are just XML files that you can edit and it's just a nicer environment.
Yeah, and actually when I installed the other desktop environment, it came in, there was another option for KDE/OpenBox, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Well, that's because that's the option to use KDE with the OpenBox window manager underneath of it instead of KWin.
Yeah, so that was available in addition to the Plasma, KDE Plasma.
You know how I know this?
No.
I recently installed Razer QT on my laptop.
How is it?
And it's okay. I can't use it because I really need transparent backgrounds in my terminals, and you can't do it in Razer QT.
Okay.
But
how do they look in Fedora? Transparent terminals.
Perfect. On KDE, it's more your desktop manager than your distribution.
Yeah.
So, but when I did that, I get the option to run. It asked me the first time I ran Razer QT, do you want to use KWin as your window manager underneath Razer QT, or do you want to use OpenBox?
Okay.
I never thought about changing that. I didn't realize you could.
Yeah, there's all sorts of things, all sorts of choices in the Linux world.
Just no, kidding. I mean, but KDE, I figured, is KDE. Yeah. I didn't realize you can change Kwind. Actually, before
Light DM,
2 weeks ago.
You can also change, right. Either run Kwind or Light DM, too.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, before a couple weeks ago, I didn't even know Kwind even existed.
Yeah, we saw that. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll kind of keep going with this. All right. all right, so yeah, so I have my left-handed stuff. Although using Fluxbox is somewhat interesting. Different tools. I like the fact, though, that wherever my cursor happens to be on the screen, I can right-click and there's a menu.
Right, it's different default tools, but everything that's available is still available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, but Visito also includes this SMXI script. I'd never heard of this before, which is run from the command line after exiting X. If you really want to try something out of the ordinary, you run the script. The script allows you to enable capabilities such as downloading additional kernel sources so you can install and boot different kernels than the one that comes with your distro. Now, up to this point, I have only run, with exception of one time when I used a low-latency kernel when I was fooling around with some music stuff, I've always just run the stock kernel that came with my distro. It's just
easier.
Yeah. But this particular script allows you to download and install the sources for the Licorix?
Never heard of it before
kernel.
Today.
Well, it's a kernel that I think allows you to do, you know, if you're running gaming and that type of thing, I guess it is a little more efficient or faster.
A low latency kernel.
Yeah. Hmm. And the Seduction kernel. It also walked me through a series of questions regarding the kernel I wanted to use. So not only will it download all those, but you can also set it up to make it available in Grub. Hmm. Also, what repositories to set, packages to download, etc. I had Debian Multimedia, Seduction, Licorix, RemasterSys, these repositories to name a few. After those settings were in place, it's time to update your system. Now, you can opt to do a dist upgrade or a regular one. I chose dist upgrade, and then I upgraded Grub via Kubuntu, you know, because I ended up rebooting, going into Kubuntu to refresh Grub to find those various options. And to make my, you know, those new kernel options available. And lo and behold, there they were. So it was very nice. So back in I went. Now, as far as package management is concerned, Visito has it well covered. There's a GDeb package installer for any deb file you may have or have downloaded. There's also Synaptic and then also Aptitude, just depending on your preference. I tested the package management system by installing the full KDE desktop. I thought, you know, I'm just going to do it. I took a long time because I did KDE-full. And it brought the whole house down.
Holy cow, yeah.
It brought everything down. It took, I went and had supper and came back.
And it was still
going? I had to acknowledge a couple of questions. Then it finished up. But yeah, it was long. It was a long time. But it worked. It worked fine. And, so yeah, so it was good to have KDE back there and it was, you know, again, changing the mouse thing. I think it had carried it over because it seemed to be in good shape for me. But yeah, so KDE looked great. Had the transparent terminals that I thought of you when I saw it. I thought, wow, Matt will really like this. You should try this distro out. So
well, it's because it's got KDE. It's not.
No, it's not KDE necessarily. No, I understand what you're saying, but as far as having the KDE tools and things that you like, plus it has these other things, you don't even have to run KDE OpenBox because that was available.
Yeah, but you don't get the transparent terminals unless you're running KDE.
Oh yeah, you have to be running KDE. Well, I was running KDE. No, I got the transparent terminals running Fluxbox. I got them running OpenBox. I got them running all desktops. / window managers in this distro.
Well, I wonder why I can't get.
My question is
because if I can get transparent terminals, mm-hmm. Razer QT looked so nice, then I might switch to Razer QT.
Wow!
But it was improved
than where it was last year when I initially reviewed it.
Yeah. But it was the fact that I couldn't get those mm-hmm. transparent terminals working. I'll have to look at that again.
Yeah. So, of course, you want to make sure that if it's really transparent rather than just painting the desktop. You know what I mean?
Right. Because the reason I use them is because I need to see the terminal under the terminal.
Yep. And it's what's scrolling past you.
Right, right, right.
All right, so the interesting programs on this distro, it's got something called kernel remover. It removes extra kernels you have lying around. Of course, when I first attempted to use it, I only had one kernel. It says nothing to be done. There's only one kernel installed in the system, but I bet now I'd get, you know, with all the ones available, I'd probably get an option here.
Maybe not if they're all current. Because what kernel remover does, because it's not their package, it's in other distros also.
Okay.
And it removes old kernels. So if they're...
You're right. Good point. But anyway, there's also something called system information. It's really hard info, it says. It was mostly helpful, but it did report that no batteries were found on my laptop, which would kind of... Now, I don't know if that's because it was really running off
electric. Because you didn't have the battery plugged in?
Well, the batteries are in there.
No, I'm just saying
because I was drawing power from the
cord. Right, no, that should not. Because it uses HD info, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, HD info should report you have a battery.
That was a little odd. It had also Remaster Sys, you know, which, of course, most folks are familiar. That's a program for Debian-based systems. Creates customized live CDs. You can back up systems, yada, yada, yada. Remaster Sys. Buy it today. No, get it today.
I'm familiar with Remaster Sys.
Yep. It also has something called PithOS or PitHus. It's a Pandora front end. To use it requires a Pandora account. That's PithOS. How do you pronounce it?
PithOS?
PitHus.
PithOS.
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 Okay, we got that.
That's all I'd say.
See what you did?
All right.
Let's continue.
PithOS.
Let's continue. All right. Another name that's going to slide right off my tongue here is Puddle Tag.
Puddle Tag.
Yeah, it's an audio tag editor for GNU Linux, or NGU Linux as I typed it, which is incorrect. I hope I better go up to the show notes and correct that. It's similar to the Windows program MP3 Tag. There's also Nitrogen. It said it's a lightweight background browser for X, but actually it just sets your desktop wallpaper. But it does let you browse for a suitable picture. It's got BleachBit. You're familiar with BleachBit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I ran it, and it took out 900 megabytes of files, which included the apt archive. So I don't know if that was a good thing or not.
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was pretty good. And then it also has BUM. And I was looking to see if it had butt right next to it. But anyway, and butt, of course, is broadcast using this tool.
That's right. That's what we're using to broadcast our audio.
Did I tell you the story about I was at a meeting, and I was working with one of the people at the meeting, and we were looking at my computer, and I had installed butt. And it creates a butt file. And she saw that and she said, "Oh, I don't think we want to look there." And I freaked out and I was, "Oh, no. It's just, it's this application, blah, blah, blah." I was embarrassed. But anyway.
That stands for broadcast using.
This tool. Yes, I had to quickly say that because it looked so odd seeing a butt file or butt folder. Yeah.
That is hilarious.
I know. I was mortified. I'm getting rid of it. No,
I would have paid money to be in that room.
I'm not kidding you. You never see me backpedal and try to explain my way out of that. Because that's all it was.
Right.
I didn't realize it had set that folder up because I think we were playing around that one Sunday just fooling around with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, the next, continuing on because this is going on way too long, it has BUM. BUM, are you guys familiar with BUM?
No. Is it a version of butt?
Kinda. No, I'm just kidding. It's called Boot Up Manager. Now, it's a utility to manage what services run at startup, and that's where I found Wicked not active, so I activated it, and that's what helped me. There's also something called Application Finder. It acts like a launch menu, but it really is kind of a freestanding window that shows categories and applications within each category. I really like that tool. Anybody who is maybe developing applications for services and stuff that run on the D-bus, it allows you to kind of see what methods, and it allows you to trap signals and that type of thing if you were going to kind of debug and that type of thing. Originally developed by Red Hat, and then, of course, the Fluxbox menu settings. Now, so my rating. I was impressed with this distro, and after easily installing a full KDE desktop and running Visito from there, I liked it even more. So I gave it 3.9 cups of coffee with a Debian swirl of half and half.
All right.
I mean, because I started so late in the week with it, I couldn't really hammer it and do some other stuff, but I did run that script. I never did go back and run the Visito welcome script to download Office Manager. I'll have to go back and try that out. But
do they don't include the Office Manager just to keep the distro small enough to fit on a CD?
Well, that was my thinking. Now, keep in mind, if you've ever installed a distro, well, that's a dumb thing to say. Think about it. When you install, usually you'll install the base stuff, and then there's like the second part. Well, it was that part, but it required that working internet connection, which I didn't have. And so I would never circle back to put that in place, but I think I will just to try it out. And I'm going to keep Visito around on SDA6 for a while.
Yeah, I still don't think it's acceptable to install a distro and not have productivity tools. But we don't know if they're not there. If they're not there for space reasons on the CD, but readily installable at install time, like that second part of the install that you couldn't do.
That's
acceptable.
Yeah, so. And that's what happened there. And again, it was just screwed up because of the wireless not working properly.
Right.
So anyway, so that's Visito. Visido.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm looking at their website right now, and they have
very basic.
Yeah,
it's just like a forum.
Yeah, it's like forums, and they under the support section they have Conky. So
they got a bunch of Conky setups.
Well, because I'm sure they do that
for Fluxbox.
That tool at the top, that toolbar at the top that you said had your processor and all that in it. I'm sure that was Conky.
It probably was. It probably was. Had temperatures. It had all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that was definitely Conky.
Yeah, that's
and there's
cool.
A lot of cross pollination from Crunchbang. You know, Crunchbang is another Debian based distro.
Really. I didn't know that.
You didn't during Is It Alive? I think you didn't get that one. Anyway, so it's kind of cool. There you have it, gents.
All right.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Tony, do you want to swap next week? And you do a distro this week, and I'll edit the show.
I already volunteered to edit the show.
That's right.
No, but if you do want to swap sometime, I'll do the distro if you want to do the editing.
Yeah, once I figured out how to do it. Remember we had a typo? We had a typo. I had a typo.
Got a mouse in your pocket?
I had the case of the character wrong. Oh, my God.
You know, if you click test, that will tell you if you have a typo.
Why would I want to verify it? Why would I want to do that? I was going Matt's way. No, just kidding, Matt. But I learned a lot.
And if you didn't use that stupid visual editor, you would have seen that you were actually putting the whole post on the front page instead of.
Yeah, I saw that too. Did you fix that?
I fixed that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, there's something weird with how the visual editor changes some of the tags. Mm-hmm. And there's a WordPress-specific tag.
I had to cancel going to a movie. I was going to see The Wizard of Oz, The Wizard of Oz movie. And I canceled it because I was editing.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, that's how painful it was.
I'm sorry, Mary.
That's all right. That's all right. I got past it.
But, hey, my boss went to see that.
Yeah?
And he went in with very low expectations and was surprised at the quality of the movie.
Yeah, I think Sam Raimi, well, he's from Metro Detroit. And he's done some crazy movies.
Yeah.
But I just want to see the computer, you know, the effects, because they got to make sense in context of the movie. They've got to look realistic, and when they meet those two criteria for me, then I know I'm going to probably like it. But I've seen some stuff that's just crazy.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
I do. I have three that I wrote. Two of them are just updates on articles from previous times, and one is a very lengthy, whatever, article.
All right.
And we're going to start with that one. Government intends crackdown on patent trolls. The House Subcommittee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and the Internet held a hearing on abusive patent litigation. Bob Goodlatte.
Goodlatte.
Yeah. chairman of the House Judiciary Committee set the tenor for the hearing with this statement. Abusive patent litigation is a drag on our economy. Everyone from independent inventors to startups to mid and large-sized businesses face this constant threat. the tens of billions of dollars spent on settlements and litigation expenses associated with abusive patent suits represents truly wasted capital. Wasted capital that could have been used to create new jobs, fund R&D, and create new innovations and technologies that would promote the progress of science and useful arts.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes. PAE, patent assertion entities, lawsuits claim ownership over basic ideas, such as sending a photocopy to email, podcast.
Wait, wasn't the physical address extensions, wasn't that copyrighted or patented?
Sending a photocopy to email, podcasting, aggregating news articles, offering free Wi-Fi in your shop, or using a shopping cart on your website. Something is terribly wrong here. The patent system was never intended to be a playground for trial lawyers and frivolous claims. We need to work on reforms to discourage frivolous patent litigation and keep U.S. patent laws up to date. Abusive patent troll litigation strikes at the very heart of American innovation and job creation. So you can tell where he was going with his
statement. It's a very political charged statement.
So especially troubling was testimony given by Janet L. Dillon, Executive Vice President and General Counselor of retailer JCPenney. 4 years ago, JCPenney was involved in zero patent litigation. However, times have changed, and in the last 4 years, JCPenney has had to defend or settle over 24 patent infringement lawsuits that have nothing to do with the products JCPenney actually sells.
Well,
keep in mind, this number does not include those claims that are settled upon receipt of demand notices.
Wow.
You may gone, trolls, be gone.
Yes. You may wonder what they could possibly have been sued for. Well, here's what Ms. Dillon had to say. We have been sued for displaying catalog images and having drop-down menus on our website, activating a gift card at the point of sale, browsing a website on a mobile phone, or enabling a customer to put her purchases in an electronic shopping bag or cart. We have been subjected to multiple claims for providing information regarding our store locations to a mobile phone.
What?
Yeah. Basic technology.
So wow. Who sued them, Apple or Google?
No, patent trolls.
Okay.
Jeez.
She goes on to say, what makes this litigation particularly heinous? These patents date back to the late 80s and early to mid 90s and all have had multiple owners with minimal or no continuing involvement in the actual inventor. Defending suits against broadly asserted patents that are 15 to 25 years old is very difficult. Trolls know the evidence necessary to invalidate these patents has often been destroyed. Potential witnesses have died or memories have faded, which makes reconstructing the prior art and proving the patent invalid almost impossible and extremely expensive. Software patents account for a disproportionate number of these lawsuits. 55% of patent defendants and 82% of PAE defendants. President Obama got it right when he said, they're just trying to...
What did you say?
Yeah, I get to that. when President Obama got it right when he said, they're just trying to essentially leverage and hijack somebody else's idea and see if they can extort some money out of them. I know I don't often agree with the president, but when he is right, he is right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and it looks like that the Republicans in the Congress are actually going to do something about this patent litigation.
You're kidding.
No, that the chairman with that opening statement, he's a Republican.
Wow, that's good. It's good that some bipartisan activity can come out of something.
It's the dawn of a new era. Definitely everybody is on board that this patent problem is broken. Do you know that when copyright, I know it's not a patent, it's copyright,
but it's still the same kind of concept.
Yeah. When copyright was first initiated, do you know how long it was?
How long you had the copyright for? A year?
No.
10 years.
17.
14.
Okay. 14
years.
14 years. That makes sense. You have 14 years to this copyright before it
recoup
drops into,
your, yeah,
to
R&D.
Recoup all your stuff yep. and before it drops into the public domain. Do you know what it is now?
No.
The life of the author plus 70 years.
What?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's
so it's over 100 years. A copyright is good for over 100 years.
Huh.
Wow.
In most cases, more than 150.
Yeah.
Well, it's just so that the publishers can keep on raking in money.
Exactly. That's yeah. the sole purpose of it. And we need to change it. It needs mm-hmm. to go back to what it was. But anyway.
All right.
Done beating a dead horse.
Well, I don't think that horse is dead.
I hope not.
You know what? I wonder if the publishers are afraid that is going to happen. That's why they're doing that other lawsuit about you can't sell your used
books. Yeah, the first sale doctrine. I have an update on that.
Yeah.
So we can take our banner down because the Supreme Court did the right thing.
All right.
The Supreme Court gave a victory to... This is an update for the first sale doctrine that we did a couple of weeks ago. The Supreme Court gave a victory to all resellers when they handed down this decision. They made it very clear that the first sale doctrine protects resellers even if they cross international borders. This all stems from a lawsuit brought by Wiley & Sons against Thai student Supap Kurtseng. Wiley & Sons alleged in their lawsuit that since Kurtseng bought the books he was reselling overseas, the first sale doctrine did not apply. This ruling overturns a jury verdict and a ruling by the U.S. Court of Appeals Second Circuit that went down both in favor of Wiley & Sons. The decision was not unanimous. It was 6-3, with two members of the six writing a concurrence opinion. In this concurrence, they fully supported the decision, but say that Congress needs to address the issue of a copyright holder being able to set geographical-based pricing. So what they did was they said the way the law currently reads, the rights of first sale apply. But they put it back in Congress's court that they said, we feel that a manufacturer or publisher should be able to set geographical pricing, because that's what Wiley & Sons did. The prices for the books in Thailand were much cheaper than they were in the U.S., because third world versus first world.
Mm-hmm.
So what this guy, and they were so different that this student was able to import these books from Thailand, buying them legitimately off the shelf in Thailand, and resell them in the U.S., making $1.2 million in mm-hmm. the process. That's how big the price difference was. And the Supreme Court, two of the judges that sided with the fact that this was okay to do, put it back in the, said this needs to go back to Congress, and if we rewrite the laws, then in the future our decision would be different.
Huh.
So
how many dissented on that?
Three.
Who were they, do you know?
I don't remember.
Okay, all right. Hmm.
I didn't include that information. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Matt, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
Yeah,
because
I didn't include who the dissenters were either.
Yeah. So.
But so what this leaves open the door to new legislation that would enforce this. We need to remain vigilant in keeping this from happening. So just we need to be on the lookout for legislation that would cause this to happen. And
we need to be looking for a lot of legislation.
Oh my God, it's horrible.
Yeah.
So. Okay. What else?
And next, last but not least, we have Viber loses dispute with Python over name. So this is an update on the Python Foundation battling Viber, which is a web host in Europe.
Bieber?
Viber.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Bieber.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, I reported that the Python Software Foundation was in a legal dispute over the name Python. Well, they have reached a settlement with the other party. Initially, Viber blew off the PSF. But once they officially opposed Viber's trademark application and asked for European companies to write to officials in support of PSF, then Viber wanted to settle. According to the settlement, Viber has withdrawn their application and agreed to support the PSF. They have also agreed to rebrand their cloud and backup services, which they had branded Python and were asking for a trademark on that.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Viber.
to prevent future problems, the PSF has applied for a European trademark. Because that was a problem. The PSF had Python trademarked in the U.S.,
okay.
but not in Europe.
Okay.
So.
Oh, now they're trying to trademark it?
So the Python Foundation has applied for a European trademark. The problem was that Weber had applied for the trademark in Europe. So.
That would have been confusing.
Very.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's all I have.
Wow, Matt, that's
cool.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, thanks for the good news.
All right.
Good articles, I guess.
Good articles about the news.
Yeah.
Well, that last one was good news.
The last one was good news, and the first one also was good news if you look at the fact that we might actually get some change in the
I forgot the what the first one was already. I'm just kidding. All right. So, all right.
So, Mary, do you have anything?
Yes, I do. I'm so glad you asked. let's see here. I've got, did you see the Ubuntu to become standard operating system in China?
Yes, I did. Really? I was going to write a story on that and did not.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, and here's where I see them going with that. That's their entree into the phone, the netbook, the desktop thing. They're gonna, and the reason why they did, is because and I think it's called Kylin. I believe it's Kylin OS, or it's, they took the Ubuntu version and they made it easier for, Chinese characters and all of that,
right.
just to be usable in it.
They're working with the Chinese developers on the distribution that's going to be Ubuntu based. So I'm sure Canonical is making money on this deal.
I'm sure they are.
And that's good for them. I want Canonical to be successful. And I've said this before.
I'm going to pull out the time machine.
Go ahead, because I have said this before. I want Canonical to be successful, but they've got to change their approach. Their approach right now is that, ooh, we're this lovey-dovey community distribution. But they're not.
Yeah.
You know, they're a corporate distribution like Red Hat. Mm-hmm. And when Red Hat did this years ago, and spun off Fedora into the community distribution and kept Red Hat the corporate distribution, it caused some waves and there were some problems. But I think Ubuntu or Canonical needs to do the same thing. And I read an article earlier this week that said this, and I read a couple of them actually, and I'm like, man, I talked about this on the podcast, so they're all copying me. But anyway, but it was one that suggested an open Ubuntu as like an open SUSE kind of distribution. Ubuntu is the commercial distribution, and open Ubuntu is the community distribution.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, but
yeah, that makes sense.
He needs to stop pretending.
Yeah,
that's my problem.
Right.
Yeah, and one of the comments, and again, I picked this up off osnews.com, but one of the takes on it was, you know, just as far as China and their human rights record and that type of thing.
Companies can't really, I don't know, they can and they can't get involved in that geopolitical thing. It's a huge market. If you turn them down, somebody else will do it.
So that's why we should get companies. We should promote companies going to Cuba and.
We should.
Okay.
I don't think we should have an embargo with Cuba. I think that's the stupidest thing in the universe.
Amen. I know. I just think it's dumb. I love their old Chevys, those old 1950s Chevys that they still
drive. It doesn't
do
anything but hurt the Cuban people.
Yeah. And those folks are good people. Okay. Well, we'll get on with stuff here. All right. So that was one of the items I had. Let me go back to my little list here. Did you guys see the article about this botnet? It used hacked devices. Here's what it did. It used hacked devices to scan the entire internet.
I did not see this.
Well, what the guy did is he went and he found, because some of these embedded devices, they didn't change their password. They had the standard password. So he ended up putting together, and I'm going to have a link not only to the article itself, but to the paper that was created as a part of this thing. And it was done by, it was called the Karna botnet. So this guy put this whole paper together about what they did. They took the Nmap scripting engine, and they discovered an amazing number of open embedded devices on the internet that were basically available. And so they dropped a little something on there, kind of took control of them, and then used them to basically scan the entire internet. Now they didn't do it for malicious purposes, but They did it just to do it.
As a proof of concept.
Yeah, as a proof of concept.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so the paper goes into some really, detail about it that I'm not going to go into here, but it was really, pretty interesting to read. And they've got some pictures of,
Will there be a link in the show notes for this?
Yes, there will be.
I'd like to read this.
Yeah, there will be. They talk about the scanning methods they used. They also go into considerable detail about, analysis.
I think somebody at work posted this at work.
Okay. Which, I'm not surprised.
Work,
it just came
work,
out this week.
A lot of times when techs post stuff like that, I kind of say, oh, wow, that's interesting. But then I forget about it by the time the day's over, and I don't want to take the time in my day to go and read it.
Yeah, and they wanted to see one of the things they wanted to see if there's like a day-night rhythm to the utilization of IP spaces, and so they kind of gathered that information and munched down, crunched it and presented some maps and stuff. So I'll have a link to that. I thought it was really fascinating. You know, again, it's a botnet that was created, but it was not.
I'll tell you, there's definitely
then
a day-night rhythm.
They then pulled the program that they put on these devices off. Clearly.
Right.
Before they had made the announcement.
Never here.
Yeah.
Tony's doing the waving of his hand.
But they also put the hackers also put a README file on the infected devices explaining the purpose of the project and providing an email address for inquiries. So, the designated email address only received two messages. Both from honeypot operators whose honeypots had been infected by the bot. So anyway, but I thought it was a pretty fascinating read. And
these guys that are running with the basic passwords aren't even checking their freaking logs or systems.
Nope.
You know what probably is little IP webcams that somebody sticks up.
Yeah, probably.
And then,
they're running,
and as long as they can see the picture that's on there, they don't care what happens to it.
You know, Tony, that is it. I am sure that's it. So, good point.
Or little weather stations that are sitting out there. Yeah, I bet all things like that.
Thousands of that stuff out there. Man, can you imagine the DOS attack you could generate with this stuff?
there's for the webcam thing, there's a Google search. And now I can't think of, I have to look back on it, but like a common webcam uses like this certain string in the web interface. And if you search Google for that string, then it'll bring up all these webcams across the world that you can click on and see what's going on just at the current web, it's neat. Anyway, Mary, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Other thing I wanted to share too, you're probably familiar with the collaboration vendor OpenExchange.
Yes.
What they're doing, they plan to launch an open source browser-based productivity suite called OX Documents. And
what's this going to compete with Google Docs and Office 360?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
Very cool.
Yeah.
See, do you really see enough room in that marketplace for...
Well, the market's going to shake them out. I mean, it's going to me, again, OpenExchange, I think that's the open source version of like Microsoft Exchange, which it makes sense for them to extend and have this available.
Right. Now is this a web-based...
It's like Office Suite.
Is it in the cloud, or would you run this in your... would you run this on a local instance, like inside your company?
I suspect that you could probably do it either way.
Well, it's probably going to be more of a local instance,
mm-hmm.
right.
but you could just stick it on a world facing web server. But I mean, I see the market where you need to be able to run your own instance. You know, say schools need to save on on
bandwidth.
Yeah, bandwidth or whatever they want, and they want to have a open collaboration, a web-based is great for that.
Yeah, and they said, that they'll be able to, add new content, blah, 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 and that changes will be pushed to the server right away. They indicate that it will be available. It's under the GNU Public License 2 and the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 2.5 license. So it's software that they're going to be able to install locally, but I suspect that there could be a cloud version. But, again, I see it as just a competition with probably more Microsoft than maybe Google. But I thought that was kind of interesting, and we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Well, it would compete with Office 360.
Which, yeah, 365. Just five more days there, Matt.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, and it's going to have spreadsheet presentation software, and then the second version of it is going to be coming out later this year. So, all right.
Very cool.
I think it was derived, I think it was somewhat derived from OpenOffice. So, but enough of that. I'm moving on to the next item. Actually, it is the KDE Corner. So this week in the KDE Corner, we have got Reconk. The development work, of course, continues for Reconk. I think it's already up to 2.1 or 2.2. This week's question, and I'll have a link to this in the blog for the developer who that's working on it, they had a question about opinions about the secure website indicator, you know, the HTTPS, how it should look. There are, I think, two or three options that were available, so that I think that should still be up there if anyone wants to comment on that. Also, we all have our favorite KDE, or maybe our not-so-favorite KDE projects. And if you're interested in what's happening on your favorite KDE project, you could probably go to the blog of the project maintainer, or you can check out the KDE projects page. They've got a specific projects page that will list, give an overview and give additional details about the project. I wasn't aware of that. I was not aware of that, but I am now. And so, I've got that available. The other thing I want to mention too is that KDE, they joined the outreach, it's an outreach program for women, which is great. And this is, the GNOME, I guess this was originally started by GNOME and other participating organizations like Wikimedia, Mozilla, and Fedora, others. And so KDE is also joining it just to promote, I think, to get women more involved in the various organizations and thus in the various projects within those organizations. So I thought that was pretty good. The reason why I kind of laughed is that I remember Mitt Romney's comment, well, we have binders of women. You know, he yeah. meant it one way.
Right,
but of
right,
course,
right.
everyone oh, ran with it, as I perhaps naturally would do too. I ran with it in a completely other direction. Right. And, you know, there were all those jokes. And yeah, you're right,
that
Tony.
Was very funny.
You know, they had the pictures of binders with legs sticking out of them. Oh my God. Those of you not, who are not US-based listeners, it was kind of hilarious. Unless you were unless you were a Romney supporter. but I understand it was, you know, it was taken out of context clearly. Just like his comment, the trees are all the right height here in Michigan. Remember that one?
No, I don't.
He said that at the Detroit Economic Club. You know, about how great it was here. Oh, yeah, and the trees are just the right height. And I'm thinking, well, what height is that? I know. It just meant you just kind of
all right then.
That was Mitt. But anyway, we'll continue on with the rest of my KDE update. The other item I've got is KDE Tea Time. They released episode 13, Lucky 13, and actually this was pretty funny. They talked about the timely, it's probably one of the more funnier, cause they got into this little row about distributions, and apparently the guys that are on the podcast, you know, the four core guys, I think two or three are Arch users and the other are Kubuntu users. So they kind of got on about the, you know, which is better, that type of thing. But they also talked about the timeliness of updates to applications. They also talked about, during the course of that conversation, David said to Vishnesh, he said, so you're saying that you know better than your distro, because he was making some kind of, sharing an opinion about that. And to which, Vishnesh responded, yes, because I wrote the effing software, except he basically said it.
Right.
It was pretty funny, because he knew better than the distro, because he wrote the software,
right.
Which is kind of funny. So yeah, they complained that they had a few complaints about sites like Reddit that make comments about changing something within an app. If your app doesn't do something, they then just change the whole distro rather than changing the little setting for the app. You know, sort of like instead of maybe replacing a microwave, you just buy a new house. So it's kind of cool. And the last thing I have for KDE Corner this week is Plasma Media Center 1.0 is released. Now, this is aimed toward a unified media experience on PCs, tablets, and netbooks. I really like the direction which KDE is moving with this. But anyway, you'll be able to not only just see pictures, but also play music, watch videos, view images, either on your local file system, or you can access it through, you know, other means. So pretty cool. There'll be a link to that in the show notes, too. And that's this week's KDE Corner.
Cool. Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
You know, I found one article. It says Linux Triumph.
I bet you over there typing. Just kidding. Go
it says
ahead.
Linux Triumph. Chrome OS resists cracking attempts.
Yeah, it was the only one.
Yeah, and they said that the Chrome browser on Windows is breakable. But its little brother, the Linux OS-based Chrome OS, proved to be essentially uncrackable.
Yep.
every year they have that competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this one was at CanSunQuest, which is the Vancouver.
Okay.
Yeah, in Vancouver. But Google itself is also holding a total prize or a contest with total prizes of $3.1459 million in prizes.
Right. But at CanSec, that's where they have that competition every year where they break all the browsers and they break all the OSs.
And you win money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And Chrome OS is the only one that didn't go down.
Yeah. Yeah, IE10 went down and Firefox with Java and all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Hmm. Good for them.
So I thought that was cool. And you know, the other thing with being Chrome OS is even if Chrome OS gets hacked on your computer, when you reboot, it checks some MD sums.
Yeah, the integrity.
And then it goes through and it wipes it and you're right back to factory defaults.
But it's going to keep your files. It just wipes all your program files.
Yeah, everything's cloud for Chrome OS. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I kind of hate that.
All you have to do is put in your username. And it syncs everything and you're ready to go.
Unless you've got an internet connection.
Right.
You can't be out on the beach.
Correct.
Well, that's a great doorstop, except there are no doors on the beach. I mean.
Well, if you have one with 3G or 4G, yeah, LTE.
Okay.
Built in.
Then that opens it up a lot. And,
yeah, I was looking at
it's not for anyone.
I don't know. Personally, when I want to be on a computer, I am never where there's not Wi-Fi.
Okay. Well, I don't sit on the beach either because that's not my thing, but.
You know, I agree. For a long time, not having internet access to something was a big stopper for me. But if I think back on what I do on my laptop.
Just 10 years
ago, yeah. It was like 3 years ago I said that. You know, if I can't have internet access, you know.
Then I'm not doing it.
Or the other way around, yeah.
Okay.
But now I look at everything I did. The only thing I've done is listen to music that's offline. And edit the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be doing either of those on a Chromebook.
Right.
You know, I have an iPod or I have my own MP3 player.
Okay.
You know, so I'm going to be, if I just want to listen to music, I can pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a Chromebook or your typical, what I use a laptop for is.
Yes. The Chromebooks.
You can save to the local hard drive, can't you?
Depends on the Chromebook. Some Chromebooks, there's an SD card.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's how
depends.
I would do it.
Some Chromebooks have a built-in hard drive. Like I think Samsung makes that one with the 320 gigabyte hard drive, and they can do local saves. But
yeah, I'm sure it's partitioned off that the OS gets wiped and your home folder or whatever is saved.
So.
All right. Well, okay. I will look in this.
When are you ever working on your laptop when you don't have an internet connection? When?
Well, there are times.
When?
Trying to install an OS that doesn't have.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Yeah, Matt. Like Tony said. actually, I want to share something though, because I don't know if I've talked about this before. Because I know we're going to the toolbox.
Right.
But one quick comment. I don't know if you've ever heard of, I think it's called Mapalist. It's a website you go to. You can provided a CSV file with a list of addresses, and it will take it and will map it on Google Maps for you.
Or you can
find Google.
You could just put all of the addresses into.
Oh no, you don't believe me. You take this actually the CSV file. You put it in. You save it as a Google Doc in the cloud, and then using whatever Google spreadsheet app is for that. And you point Mapalist to it, and it will take it and pop. Up it comes. I just wanted to share that. I forgot to mention that.
Tools from the toolbox.
We have fed up because I finally bit the bullet and upgraded to Fedora 18 with fed up.
So wait. So this week it isn't just a general Linux tool. This is going to be specific to one version of Fedora.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So all you Debian fans, too bad.
Too bad. And all you people running Fedora 16, too bad. Because it only works with 17. Fedora, Fed Up, stands for Fedora Updater.
Oh, that's what it stands for.
Well, here is the process I used. It worked flawlessly, and I hope your experience is similar. First, you have to have a wired Ethernet connection. This is not optional. Second, you have to ensure that there is no interruption of the process. So if upgrading a desktop, a UPS is a good idea.
Ooh.
Third, all commands must be run as root. So either a login as root or SU to root.
So when do you run dist upgrade?
You don't. So then you have to make sure that Fedora 17 is completely up to date. I say Fedora 17 because FedUp only will upgrade 17 to 18. Run the following command, yum-y update.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we saw, keep in mind, those of you who are listening, that Matt doesn't have his glasses today, so he has broadened his screen, and then suddenly there was this flash, you could see it on his face, from his screen, and then it went dark.
Yes.
What happened?
I accidentally rolled my scroll wheel.
Oh.
The mouse was down in
down on the taskbar? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, and then after you run the yum-y update, then you have to clean the cache, so you run yum clean all. Pay attention, and if you received a new kernel through this process, you should reboot the system now and then proceed.
And that's it then?
No. Then you install FedUp with yum install FedUp. And now, after FedUp's installed, you run this command. FedUp-CLI --network 18. And then the process starts.
How long does it take?
Oh, my. I downloaded 1,925 packages in the first round.
Wow.
And then it went on to the second round immediately after that first round, and I downloaded another 1,070 packages. It was about 3 gigabytes of data that I downloaded.
Holy cow.
Holy smokes.
Because I put a watch. I did a watch minus N 2.
Oh, okay.
So every 2 seconds it would update DF. And I just watched the numbers go. So you also have to make sure you have enough room in your root partition to accomplish this. Because it's your root partition is where this is all downloaded to. Now, when it finished that whole download process, which took about an hour.
Yeah. Boy, I love my Kubuntu. I love my Kubuntu system.
So then you have to reboot.
Uh-huh.
And when you reboot, you should have a new entry in your kernel menu that comes up that says what kernel you want to boot.
Okay.
On Fedora, you
okay.
get this menu.
Anyway. And you just select it and you're done.
And it should be... System upgrade FedUp is the new menu entry. And this will probably be the default entry, but pay attention because it might not be.
Uh-oh.
And you might have to select it. I did not have this issue. It was my default when I rebooted, but I read on the net that some people it was not. So you have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm. What's the downside if you don't? You just boot and it borks and you have to reboot?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, the downside to this process is if you bork out the middle of the process, you might have to do a clean install.
Mm-hmm.
So you're back to the normal upgrade of Fedora.
The way Fedora normally upgrades is by doing a clean install.
Wow. So. Is that the end of it?
No. Then you'll get a blinking Fedora logo with a progress bar on your screen. Okay? And it will remain like this for a very long time.
So is it like a whole day to upgrade?
No. This second part, it was about 4 hours altogether.
4 hours?
Because the second part of the process...
Fedora's got to change that thing. Why is it so messed up?
It's not messed up.
It is messed up.
Beautifully.
You know, that's like saying, you walk from here to New York and it was good. Well, I drove and I got there a heck of a lot faster and I got to stop and see a whole bunch of other things. I think that's
maybe not four,
crazy.
Maybe 2.5. 2.5 hours total.
I have nothing against Fedora. It's a great distro.
Movie.
I mean, seriously. An entire movie. Do they have some distros playing music in the background?
No.
I think I've reviewed a couple of those.
And so anyway, I got a flashing cursor on there with the progress bar. Don't get antsy. This process will take a while.
Ah, well, that's good that they let you know that.
It took a, no, it doesn't say that. I'm saying that.
All right.
So, because it took about an hour and a half on my system. And then when it finishes, you can log into your new Fedora 18 system. When you do, issue the following command so you can prove to yourself that it updated, because everything looks exactly the same. Because everything updated, so it's all your desktop and all your tools.
Same wallpaper?
Yeah, they didn't change. Nothing's okay. Different.
All right.
So you would issue the command cat etsy red hat release. So cat /etc/redhat-release. And then it will tell you that you're now running Fedora 18. And you'll have a beautiful day.
Oh, my. A beautiful next day, because
no,
it took
it
so long.
Great. It only took, I did this yesterday, and it didn't take long at all. 2.5 hours.
I think that's just horribly flawed.
I don't know. I don't think it's that bad. For an upgrade.
For
a Ubuntu upgrade? For Ubuntu upgrade is
I get a little
least...
window that pops up and says, hey, a new distribution's available. Do you want to upgrade? And then, you know how it is, Tony. You get that little list and
yeah,
it
and
goes
it runs,
through. It just does it automatically. It checks it off for you. And, mm-hmm. But I think what you do, first
I
of all,
think,
you update before you do it. Just get update.
Yeah, so it's a lot of the same steps. It takes a little bit longer and a little bit more package data.
It might have taken so long and had so much data because I have a ton of shit installed on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not just running the basic distribution.
Well, yeah. when I did my Mint upgrade, it was almost 3 gigs of data, and it took about 3 hours.
See?
But I...
Well, that's Mint. That's minty goodness.
So,
which is based on what?
Ubuntu.
Oh. I just think you let the process run in the background and don't notice how long it takes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not disputing that it takes long. It just all the stuff you had to do there.
I didn't have to do that much.
The biggest difference is with Ubuntu, you can continue to work while it's in the background.
Oh, I could have continued to work.
Not when you reboot and you have to wait another hour and a half.
Right. I couldn't because it was installing everything it downloaded.
Right.
See, I mean, it's the same thing as far as it downloads, it stages it, and installs it. Sorry, Tony, I cut you off.
But I think the way Fedora does it is a good way because when it's in the middle of upgrading, you don't have a program open that it's trying to upgrade and then it causes problems. So with the OS shut down, you can't be trying to be in there and having files locked and blah, blah, blah.
I just think it's too...
I thought it was an excellent and easy process.
I think it's better than having to do a full... reinstall.
Yeah, because then you got to install your programs that you had before and all that. But
right,
and because I have to confess, I did screw up an upgrade once, and I had to reinstall not only the OS, I had to reinstall the programs I had.
Right, which was a huge pain in the ass. For
Yeah, because then all the configuration.
Well, I've got like 9 third-party repositories and all kinds of stuff installed.
Oh yeah, that's right. Well, I have PPAs. Yeah, but anyway.
All right.
Oh man.
But it was great.
Well, Fedora is nice, but I just think that whole, I don't know, it just sounded...
2.5 hours later, I had Fedora 18 installed seamlessly.
Okay. Eric says he uses OpenSUSE. Well, I don't know if it's he or she, but OpenSUSE.
Oh, OpenSUSE, yeah.
So.
Right. You know, I got dumped out of the thing again. I don't know why.
I'm not in the IRC because I couldn't read it.
Right.
All right. So you are eyes to that there, Tony.
Yeah. Well, earlier we were talking about that... OS or OX Open Exchange web thing, and Ken Fallon says that the Exchange server. He says we don't need more Exchange server options. We need clients to that support Exchange. Mm. And I'm mixed on that.
No, we don't.
I think we need both
support Exchange.
Well, Evolution supports parts of Exchange.
Exchange needs to go away. Have you ever used Exchange? Have you ever been inside an Exchange server?
I have.
I can't fit.
It's a giant flaming piece of crap.
Is it?
Okay. Yes. We have a one.
It has a whole lot of
components
you're
not biased,
to it
are you?
That don't always work great.
Right. And this one client at work uses has an Exchange server running, and he recently had to virtualize it because the hardware it was running on was old and outdated, and he couldn't just do a new install and migrate everybody over to it because everything would have broken. Everything would have – all the clients would have had to do stuff on their end.
Oh, really?
So he had to virtualize that operating system with that version of Exchange running on it.
No way.
And then move it to a – to another machine, run the VM that he then created from that running operating system. And then there were all kinds of licensing issues that he had to deal with Microsoft.
Really?
Yeah. So, yeah, Exchange is just a pile of crap.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, there, you've heard it from Matt Enders.
Oh.
All right. We got a-
Ken says Evolution doesn't support Exchange.
Well, it does with that.
It has options. Yeah, it has options to connect to it. I'm not sure the extent of, because I've never used it.
There's a connector you have to install. A third-party connector. It's not part of Evolution.
He says, okay. DevMail.
DevMail.
Anyway. He also says that for the offline stuff, that he's on a train for 3 hours a day. And so he's always...
Well, it's not my fault you're on a train without Wi-Fi.
Oh, jeez. No, I just think, I think that the ability to have your
well,
stuff.
Well, here in the U.S., you can take the Megabus, which is a bus, from here to Chicago and have Wi-Fi the whole way.
Yeah.
My point is, not having local access to your stuff is, I don't know, to me that's just there's something unholy about it. But anyway, we're going to move
although,
on.
You know, it does have a USB drive, a USB port. So you can use a flash drive or external hard drive.
The problem is, did you ever try and save a Google Doc?
No.
To somewhere other than Google Docs?
No.
I don't think you can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, see, maybe I won't get a, maybe I won't get a netbook with Chrome OS on it.
All right. It'd be something to mess with, but I don't think I'd.
I think
use
I
as
could
my main
definitely because I've recently.
I'd wipe
moved...
it and I'd put Plasma 2 on there.
We have Kubuntu.
Yeah, I put that on there. That's what I would do.
I
because you know they've got the desktop. You can go to the netbook interface by changing.
I definitely think I could replace my laptop with a Chromebook.
Okay.
So.
Cool. All right, mark that, Tony, because I just know down the road we are going to be able to use that to our advantage. All right.
Now it's time for Mary's quiz show. Is it alive?
Yeah, welcome to this week's episode of Is It Alive or Is It Older Than Nopix?
Oh, no.
During this segment of the show, I challenge Matt and Tony to identify whether a Linux distro is alive or dead. Every other week, I twist the concept for our game show and challenge Matt and Tony to decide if the name entity is a Linux distro or something else. This week is Twist Week, and I challenge them to decide whether the distro is older than Nopix or not.
Nopix has been around for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nopix is revolutionary because it was the first live distro, and I thought it appropriate to acknowledge that and use it for this week's segment because I remember when it first came out, I was just amazed at it, and it was just so cool. So, as customary, let's see. Yeah, you get extra credit if you know what year this distro, the name distro came out in.
Oh.
So that's a little tough.
Okay, so now, wait a minute. I want to clarify this. All of the distros are going to be live.
Yes, that's correct.
And we have to say whether they're older than Nopix or not older than Nopix.
That's correct.
And then we get the bonus point
if you know
by
what
identifying
year.
The year
that's right.
they were and, instituted.
Yeah, and just keep in mind that you're the only guy that sees the IRC, Tony. So all you folks out there, don't...
right.
Tony aces
no
us. We'll know what happens.
Tony in the IRC.
Okay. So
well, we have a 10-second delay, so I don't think it's going to help me anyway.
Yeah, so the first one is... Puppy Linux.
Puppy Linux.
Older than Nopix or not?
Not.
I'm going to say no.
You're right. Nopix is older.
Yeah.
And
it has to be.
Yeah.
Puppy's alive distro.
Yeah. All right. The next one is Arch. Older than Nopix or not?
Not.
Arch?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say yes.
You said not, right?
I said not.
Okay. It's not.
Oh.
It's Nopix is older. Actually, I think I told you these are all live.
Right.
I lied.
Oh.
Oh, but it's going to be so obvious. This is going to be a softball for you guys.
Okay.
Lindows. Linspire.
Oh, yeah, Windows is dead and older than Nopix.
Yeah, it's older.
You're right, it is. We'll get past that one. Sorry about that. Okay, Linpus Linux. Older or dead? I mean, older or dead?
I think.
Linpus as in being Limpus or
no,
its whole history?
No, they changed names, so right. I definitely think it's older.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say.
Include its original iteration. And
it's always been known as Linpus. You're thinking of a different distro.
No.
Well, it hasn't changed its name.
No.
All right.
I don't know.
It's older than Nopix.
Yeah, I'm going to say older.
It is. Well, this is turning out to be just... You guys are practically acing this. All right. Crux.
Crux. Not older than Nopix.
Crux. I'm going to say it is.
It's not.
Oh.
You're leading by what? Two?
By two, yeah.
All right. The last one is Geeksbox.
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 Mm-hmm.
Not older than Nopix.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
You're right. It isn't. So, anyway. All right.
Was there any that were older? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Two?
Two. Linpus and Lindos. But that Lindos was kind of obvious.
Well, it wasn't obvious that it was older than.
Yeah. But Nopix has been around for, I mean,
a
it's
a long time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what, the early 90s?
Oh, no. No. Early 2000s. It's like 2000 yeah. and I want to say 2001.
No, it's been around since. It's got to have been around since. Well, no,
late,
wait
late 2000.
You're right. You're right. I totally misspoke, and I am sorry.
Okay. That's okay. No problem. I have my $5.
Okay. I meant 2000s when I said
yeah,
that.
I know. I figured you did. So anyway, all right. So Matt won by two.
Yeah.
So join us.
Join us next
week for another edition
I
of.
Kick Tony's ass again.
Another edition of Kick Tony's Ass. Is it alive?
It's listener feedback time.
Okay. So we have, actually we have several this week.
Well, we had a couple right at the beginning, right as soon as the show was posted.
Yes, again, it was all my fault. I just screwed it all up. I was crying and I couldn't see through my tears.
Well, to the positive side, if you were on the OG feed, if you were getting
by
that,
problems.
Yeah, you had no problems. So everybody should just switch over to OG and you'd have no problems.
Right.
It's all you MP3 folks. That whose Sunday afternoon I screwed up, so I'm very sorry.
But it got fixed, and
yeah, thanks,
it's
Tony.
All right.
I called him.
Did you call him?
Yeah, Matt did too.
Oh,
I didn't call
you. Text
you.
Me?
I texted you something.
I emailed you.
Yeah.
And no,
somebody. I got a text.
I also did a plus.
I think I texted you. I said trouble in River City.
Yeah.
No, man, you texted me also. It was like 9 o'clock or eight o'clock
oh,
at
yeah.
night.
Oh, I got you earlier than that.
Two times, all I had done was forward you the emails that I was replying to and do a plus on your name in Google Plus.
Well, I was driving home. It's about 150 miles from my parents' house to home, so I was driving home, and then all of a sudden I got this text. We just happened to be in the city in Kalamazoo.
Right.
And we pulled over to McDonald's and got a snack, and I'm like, well, I'll pull out my laptop now and check it out.
Yeah, because I was only on my phone.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I was also traveling, and I said, I am not going to try and fix this from my phone.
Right. Yeah, otherwise
and
it wouldn't have been fixed
until
after midnight.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, so those folks who wrote in, this week will be better. All right, we got something in on our listener feedback line, which I thought was out of commission, and then I found out that Magic Jack, those darn people, fixed it apparently, which it was out for almost 2 months.
Right.
Being reviewed.
But it's back now.
So I'm gonna have to go in and renew it. I'm kinda scared to renew it because they're, kinda dirt bags.
They're not. They just wanted to make sure you weren't doing anything, cause the traffic on it has to be so low, they just wanted to make sure it wasn't anything hinky.
And it's not.
I know.
All right. So we got that. Let's see. What else did we get?
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about some specific stuff here.
Well, let's go back to the when people try to download. I've always suspected that our stats have been inflated a little bit because it just clocks each time somebody tries to download or starts a download.
Last week, what did we have?
Last week, we had...
4,000?
No, we had 1,100 MP3 downloads. So I'm thinking that it's true. Yeah, because we normally get about 350.
750,
on the MP?
800.
But just the MP3.
Counting the hours.
We usually get about 600 or something for just MP3. So it was over double that.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, that's how we... Hey, advertisers.
Now we know how to pull our numbers on. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, just click on it and stop the download.
So,
all right.
Well, I have one that was only sent to me from Steve McLaughlin, the Door-to-Door Geek, because I mentioned him in last week's show because I did Fail to Ban as our toolbox, and he also did Fail to Ban on his show, but I didn't hear his show until after I had mine written. And he said, I was happy to hear you talk about Fail to Ban. I wasn't thinking you heard it from me. I was thinking that great minds think alike. So thank you.
How wrong was he? No, just kidding. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what it was. That's what it was. So. And then I got one from Solji, and I believe I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. He's the maintainer for Solid K. That was a distro I reviewed last week. He said, I really enjoyed the podcast. Thanks for the outstanding review on Solid K. And it was a pretty good little distro, so I was happy to talk about it. So
very cool.
Got that. And
just to mention some of the names who contacted us, Bob contacted
us. Bob from Account Temps?
I don't know. He just says his email is just Bob. And He was contacted about the show not working.
Oh yeah, I sent a note out there.
You did.
And then we had a really good a good little email from this is from the Grand Hotel in Sri Lanka booking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they said, "Hello, I think I saw you visited my website. So I came to return the favor. I'm attempting to find things to enhance my website. I suppose it's okay to use a few of your ideas?" Yeah, yeah, go right ahead and use any of our ideas you want. Oh, my gosh.
And then we also had another email from Christian.
That was spam, by the way, everyone, just so people know that.
Yeah.
We also had another email from Christian who said, "Hey, I can't download your show."
Yeah.
All right. I think we beat up on Mary enough.
I didn't even realize you were beating me up. It's because I'm already so beaten up from earlier. And then we had our one, are we going to play the other one from
voicemail?
Our voicemail from our trucker in Wyoming?
Yeah. Yeah, let me pull it up.
I've got it right here. Or do you want
to? Is yours loud enough for anybody to hear?
Mine is.
I don't know. Let's listen.
Yeah. But he never says his name, so we can't say,
hey,
thanks.
Give a shout out. Yeah.
But he was listening to the Dot Show, when on that show we talked about how the number, we don't think it was working anymore, and that's why he called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did. So that's good to know. I think you got an email saying it was.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I mean, I went back to try to find that email, and I couldn't find it, but I saw one that said it's working now. Anyway.
Featured music of the week.
Actually, I took it off of your experiences from last week, and I haven't listened to it yet, so this may change depending on what the lyrics are in the song, but...
what?
It's called...
Oh, you're talking about the guy that showed up?
No.
Okay, not that.
It's called Trip to Hell.
What?
By Stepping Back.
All right.
The song. It's called Trip to Hell.
Is it...
Because Mary's experience of editing and posting the show was...
Always stay nowhere. What would you do if you were still there? You were
guess that's it for this week.
Yeah, wrapping up the show. All right, so you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review, episode 76.
Non Rouge.
Nice, Matt. Oui, oui.
All right, so this is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders.
And Mary Tomich.
Saying, have a good week. See you next week. I am ignoring your email for more important things.
Hold on.
Tony has
an issue.
Tony has
didn't record the show. The show has not been recording.
Just start over with the kernel. I can grab the rest from the YouTube stream.
You sure?
No.
Yeah, let's start the whole show over.
Crap, I'm sorry, guys.
We're actually sorry to our listeners. We have to repeat everything and try and recreate the spontaneity.
Yeah, the spontaneity. The spontaneity.
Yeah.
Oh, the humanity.
I take a week off and then I just...
Now you know what we're going through last week.
There was something up when I heard him say, oh crap, over there.
Well,
whenever
I heard
Tony utters the words, oh crap, it's not good.
We know we have technical difficulties.
And oh crap around.
I heard this beep. I heard this beep sound and I'm thinking, oh my God, is he turning the recorder on? Is that what that was, Tony?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Chatter's like, ouch.
Yeah. Hey, Chatter, we are really sorry about this.
And Popey. Popey's there too, isn't he?
He's on.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
He's in the... No. Mary's review.
I forgot about the Detroit review.
Well, I'm sure. Usually when people aren't... really focusing on things, their true feelings come out. So yeah.
My true feelings is that I can't freaking see, and I'm hoping that I can get through this.
There is that large magnifying glass app you can put on there.
Back up.
Okay. Or we could listen to the mechanical voiced orca.
You know what, Matt? I have one of those big magnifying glasses with the light.
Yeah, I got one at the dollar store. It's huge. So anyway, all right. So we probably should move on again.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. What's next? Listener feedback?
Listener feedback.
Huh. Well, I guess no. Is it alive this week?
Oh.
It's been so long. We haven't had Is It Alive for 3 weeks.
Sure, we can bypass it.
No.
Is it too long?
Let's go.
We should save it?
No.
I say we break the 3-hour mark with this show.
I say we do not.
Mary's like, well, I did want to try to make it to my to the parade.
Yeah. All right, now it's on to
listener feedback.
Feedback.
They said in unison, "Nice going, you guys."